Ephesians chapter 5. Go ahead. Luke is at dinner with his grandpa, I believe. But that's what he said on Monday, so. Alright.
Marker.
Use a red one.
A what?
Use a red one. Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 5. I'll use this one.
What?
Where's that healthy? What?
What chapter?
Ephesians chapter 5. What does that? What does that healthy marriage look like to you guys? Just give me some things. Go ahead.
Following the rules for marriage the Bible has laid out for you.
Okay. Give me a shorter answer.
What?
Something I can write on the board.
Loving.
Loving.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Healthy marriage.
Communication.
Communication. Okay.
Trust.
It's biblical.
Trust. Biblical.
It covers all of it.
That's the broad spectrum. I mean, what else you guys got?
Faithful.
Faithful?
That doesn't look like that.
No, there's a big difference.
Anything else?
Honesty.
What a healthy marriage looks like to you? Trust, honesty?
Trust and honesty are the same thing.
Safe? Yeah. Secure? I got here. What? I was laughing at that thing, not her. Huh? Y'all are cheating here. Come on. All right. Y'all are cheating. Give me prospects. Anyone else? Anything else?
Not like
literally
yelling at
you.
Yo, I did not. What do you want,
Nick? Alright, we'll use these. We'll run with these, alright?
Clear.
Clear. Alright, we're going to be at Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 33. Verses 22 through 33. The married life of a spirit-filled believer as illustrated by Christ in the church. This is the heading for my study Bible.
It's so beautiful.
Do what?
22 through 33.
22 through 33. Okay. A lot of these answers are good answers, you know. Outside of a couple, you know. I would say that this is the worldly view of a healthy marriage. Like a healthy relationship, you know. Not bad things. None of these are, I don't think any of these are bad responses or bad answers. At your guys' age, so I'm trying to mold this because none of you are really thinking about marriage right now, okay? But at your age, you do need to start looking forward towards marriage. Like the purpose of dating is to hopefully find someone you're going to marry someday. So a lot of the relationships for you guys, this is just me spitballing and guessing here, but I would say like are based on like attraction. I mean, that's where it's got to start. You got to be physically attracted to somebody. And in the high school setting, it's probably not popular or the common theme to like date outside of your like social group, we'll say. Like if you're, you know, I don't want to say like a goth kid and a popular kid because they both can, but you know what I'm saying. Like you're social group. It's really not the norm to date outside of that. And in high school and middle school, I would say that a lot of the relationships, especially in the beginning, are an emotional high. Like, you know, emotions are very high. It's new, it's exciting, it's fun. And eventually that high wears off. And the world tells you that when someone doesn't satisfy whatever emotion you or need that you have at that moment in time or you desire, that you just you move on. And all of that, I would say, is like a selfish way of looking at a relationship or like, I guess, marriage in general. So we're going to look today at verses 22 through 33. We're going to see what Paul tells Ephesus about what the biblical representation or biblical definition of what marriage is supposed to look like. What do you got? Church of Ephesus, Ephesians. All right. We're going to popcorn read 22 through 33. Who wants to start me off? Show me a hand or I'm going to call on somebody. Huh? Ephesians 5. Dylan. I'm not calling somebody when you're done.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Adam.
Bless you.
Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen.
Verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing the water by the word.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So ought men to love their wives as their own, and that one of his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourished it, even as he did.
Question.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be one unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Okay. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Alrighty, so Paul is comparing marriage to the relationship of Jesus Christ in the church. Verse 22 starts right off by saying, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What does the word submit mean to you guys? Like, then you got an idea. Go ahead.
Commit to?
Okay. You're not wrong. Anybody got anything else? The word submit, like, what does it mean? Obeying?
Like going under their
leadership. Okay. Anybody else got anything? I'm not like trying to call anybody out. I'm just seeing what your guys' is.
What
idea. What does the word submit mean to you?
Finish.
Follow.
Finish? Submit is not like a sign of weakness. It's telling wives to submit to their husbands just as they would unto the Lord. Submitting, like, to your husband, it's something that you do willingly because you care about them. It doesn't mean that, like, you should submit to, like, abuse or, like, jealousy or someone who is controlling. It doesn't mean that, like, for the wives, like, you're any less than the husband. That's just, like, you're submitting to that. And a relationship built on the foundation of Christ first is one that builds someone up that doesn't tear them down. So generally, someone's actions, like the way that they treat somebody, will speak clearly to the intentions, like, and their standing. So when you're, like, if as a wife, like, if you're submitting to somebody, it doesn't mean that you're less than they are. It's to do so, which I'll get to a little bit farther on. But and then the husband, it says, is the head of the wife. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So to be the head of something means, like, that you are in charge of, like, the general direction. I am the head of, like, nicer lawns. It is my responsibility to, like, shepherd my employees. I can't, like, constantly putting them down. I have to, like, point them in the right direction, and I have to advocate for them when something, like, bad happens, like if something goes wrong or whatever, in order to build our trust. And if I'm not willing to show them that I'm, like, willing to work as well, like, our company as a whole has no direction, just as, like, the you know, Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. So as the head of a company, it's my job to protect and serve my employees. Same is to be said for, like, a biblical marriage. The husband should lead the household, protect his wife, and be willing to serve her and with her, not, like, in a controlling sense, like, by her submitting to him. So in verse 24, it says, he is the savior of the body, at the end of verse 24. Christ came and died on the cross for us so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. This is a sacrificial thing. Like, he didn't ask anything in return. And as a husband, like, we are to lead the house in a, like, a loving and sacrificial way, and to protect it. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Sorry. So it's not, the picture that is painted here isn't like what the world will tell you, though. It's not like the worldly view on what a relationship or a marriage should look like. When you're not getting something out of a relationship, the world tells you to move on, to go find something new, to just wash your hands of that. Like, that's the popular thing to do now, is to get divorced and try again. And then verses 25 via the world. Verses 25 through 27 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ gave himself for his church. He wants it to be holy and clean and without blemish, as it says. Like, he wants it to be sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? Like, what does that mean?
Go ahead. Set apart.
Set apart. Sanctify means set apart. Like, worldly relationships tell us that whatever feels right, whatever we desire, like, that's what the world says, to do that. But the Bible tells us we need to be different. Cleansed with the washing of the word. Like, cleanse with the washing of the word. A biblical relationship should be one that pulls us closer to God, not farther away from him. So, sorry, I'm going to get my notes here. This means doing things different from how the world views them. Like, when you are looking at getting with a significant other, I guess, or when you're in, like, a relationship, you should ask questions that probably aren't easy questions, especially at your age. But that's, the Bible tells us that, like, you should ask, does the person that you have feelings for, do they love God? Does this person make you want to grow spiritually? Do they push you closer to Christ, or are they pulling you away from them? Again, like, not, you guys aren't looking in a marriage sense, but as the Bible tells us, like, this is what you should be looking for in your significant other. So as you are getting into relationships and stuff, like, this is the biblical picture of what a relationship should look like. When we get saved, we're members of the body. Like, we are the bride of Christ. Our marriage should exemplify that. So, I'm saying what I already said, but none of you guys are looking for marriage. So, like you've been told before, at a certain point in dating someone, you should know whether or not, like, you want to spend forever with them. I think Luke said it was like 3 months. I don't think there's like a hard line on that. I think that's different for everybody. But at some point in dating somebody, you should know whether or not you're, like, you could possibly, like, as a wife, you could submit to this person for, like, the rest of your life. And as a husband, like, if that you could lead and direct this person for the rest of your life. Someone should, you gotta start looking at those aspects, even if that's not, you know, where you're at that moment in life. So biblical marriage is one that is sanctified and cleansed. In verses 28 through 29, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. If you love yourself, you should love your wife as you love yourself. So like, we care for ourselves. We do things. We feed ourselves. We know that our body, we know when we're hungry. Our body tells us that. We know when certain things need to be done. We should love our wives in a sense that we know, what they're feeling or how they're feeling before, not before they're feeling it, but like we should know them well enough to like know them on that level. I don't have to tell myself that I'm hungry. My body just tells me that. Your aches and pains. So marriage to a wife should be cognizant. We should be cognizant of their needs as well as we are our own. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. What he's talking about, this type of relationship that he's talking about here, is one that is deep. When you know things about somebody, as if they were your own self, that's the type of relationship that God says that you should cherish and nourish. As a bride of Christ, or as a saved person, this is the type of relationship that God desires for us to have, is one that is not selfish, we didn't have it on there. One is not selfish, one that is thoughtful to others. Our marriage should have the same picture. One that's not selfish. Being selfish in marriage can cause like problems, serious problems. Verse 30 says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. As believers, we are now spiritually united with Christ. So we're set apart. Our identity is now found in Christ, not in the things of the world that we align ourselves with. Like the sports that we play, like our identity is not found in that. I know in high school it's like hard not to feel like that's all that you are when you spend so much time doing one thing, cheering, playing football, playing basketball. Our identity is not found in the people that like we hang out with. Again, I know it's hard to, you know, when you're around somebody so much to not act like they act, to not, like, do things that they do. You pick up on quirks and habits, but as somebody who's saved, like, your identity is found in Christ. It's not found in those people that we align ourselves with. Verse 31, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is where like the worldview of marriage misses the point. It says one flesh. Like what's mine is yours. Sharing things is something that like people struggle with. Like giving everything and that you have to another person and sharing it for forever. God designed marriage to be like a forever affair. The man shall leave his mother and his father and shall be joined unto his wife as one flesh. Meaning like one household. Building their own family unit. When you are one flesh with someone, that is like a forever, that is a forever arrangement. Not intended to be separated. It isn't something that is a casual, as the world would have you view it. It's something that is casual, like as the world would have you view it. It is a spiritual bond or an emotional bond or like a physical bond. It's more than just living with someone. It's doing life together spiritually and physically. Verse 32 says, this is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What has Luke been telling us about mysteries in the Bible as we've been going through Ephesians? Usually, like, it's not a mystery. Usually when you hear the word, like, it's a great mystery, then, it, like, the Bible just turns around and reveals itself. Like, it tells you there's a mystery, and then it presents, like, it reveals the mystery. So there's really no mystery. Before you didn't know the truth, but now you know the truth. Christ is the bridegroom of the church. He's the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. This whole passage is telling us like about how Christ loved his church. It's a biblical representation of that. How it was sacrificial, how it was cleansing, how it was faithful, a faithful love. The mystery that is revealed in this passage is that our marriage was created to exemplify the relationship that Christ has with the church. Verse 33. It says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husbands should love and care for their wives as they care for themselves. Christ was an example of this. Wives are called to reverence their husband, which is to like respect him and honor him. Doing so, it doesn't make you any less than they are. It just shows that you recognize God's order and for what a house looks like. So we asked the question earlier of like what a healthy marriage looks like before class. And you guys gave me like a bunch of good answers. Biblical is probably the best, but this is what Paul tells us. This is what he's telling the church of Ephesus, like what a biblical marriage looks like. The design that we should follow, that we should build our relationships off of. One that is faithful, you know, one that is forever, one that's sacrificial. Like, sometimes you have to give a little. One that is just following the image that Christ showed for his church. Marriage is sacrificial and forever and sacred. It shouldn't be shelfish and something that isn't going... When something isn't going your way, like the world would tell you, you can't just move on from it. So, next week, Luke is going to jump into chapter 6. And we'll get after more deep dive in it, Ephesians. So, I will pray and then we will finish up with some announcements. So, let's pray.